What's up and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff. Coming up, I have new music from the AKAs and Foxborough Hot Tubs. I interview Mike Williamson from Junior Juggernaut, and I'll review the new album Hello Destiny by Goldfinger. But up first is the Philly band, the AKAs. The band recently released their first album in 5 years, and it's called Everybody Makes Some Noise. Here's one of my favorite tracks from it. This is Dead Flowers Forever.
Flowers used to grow beneath the paintings. sleepless lover. I don't want you, but you're everything I need. Lord, I believe in you.
And we're back here at Rocket Fuel. That was Automatic 7 with 40 Blocks. It came off of their At Funeral Speed album, which was released on Mental Records. Before that, you heard the Louisiana-based punk band No Fuego. That was 4AM Lullaby from their 2006 album, Always Outnumbered. The band also recently put out a CD split with the Atlanta band The Bastard Sons. Each band plays 7 songs, and that CD is called Dropping Expectations. And now, punk rock headlines. The Denton, Texas band The Marked Men have re-signed to Dirtnap Records. The band has returned to the label for the release of their new album, which is currently untitled and is set to be released in October. The band's prior full-length, Fix My Brain, was released in 2006 on John Reese's Swami Records. In addition, August will see a re-release of the band's self-titled debut album on Dirtnap, as well as a July 7-inch from side project The Potential Johns. In prior updates, the band had discussed 2 other 7-inch releases, a split with This Is My Fist on No Idea Records, and another split with Birthday Suits on Nice and Neat Records. Thursday and Hot Water Music will co-headline a show with Paint It Black supporting on July 12th at Terminal 5 in New York City. There are 3,000 tickets for the venue, and they are $25 each. According to reports from Billboard, the Smashing Pumpkins will celebrate their 20th anniversary with a handful of U.S. shows in August and September. Details have yet to be announced, but frontman Billy Corgan told Billboard.com in March the group would hit Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles, among other locales, and that guests will appear at some of them. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by punknews.org. For those hard-to-reach places, try the absorbent punknews.org, the quicker picker punker. Up next is more new music. This time it's from Foxborough Hot Tubs. This band, comprised of the members of Green Day, as well as members of Pinhead Gunpowder and Prima Donna, released Stop, Drop, and Roll last month. Here's a track from it. It's called 27th Avenue Shuffle.
Well, if you call me sleeping, well, I'm with friends, get together and slowly, slowly fell apart. No more pretty words, but shiny little hearts. For me, no more shiny little hearts. For me, no more shiny little hearts. For me, no more shiny little hearts. For me, shiny little hearts. Whoa, oh no, 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 falling on the floor.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was the awesome Gainesville, Florida band, The Draft. From their debut album, A Million Pieces, that was Wired. For those of you close enough to the Gainesville area, The Draft is playing a show on Thursday, June 5th at the Common Grounds. Doors open at 9 p.m. and tickets are only $5. Check out The Draft's MySpace page for more info. Before that, you heard the Copenhagen, Denmark pop-punk band The 20 Belows. From their album Headaches and Mood Swings, that was Shiny Little Hearts. This month, the band will be touring the United States, so check out their MySpace page for dates. In April, the LA-based punk band Goldfinger returned with their first studio album since 2005. Now signed with Side One Dummy Records, they put out Hello Destiny. With a nod to their self-titled debut album, the band put the same space woman on the cover of Hello Destiny. This was clearly a signal to fans that the band had returned to the sound they had in their mid to late 90s and put the terrible album Disconnection Notice behind them. Hello Destiny, however, falls short of the energy and explosiveness of their glory days. While some of the songs, mainly on the first half of the disc, are great Goldfinger songs, the album as a whole is off the mark. The best songs on the album, in my opinion, are the first three, One More Time, Get Up, and Goodbye. Those songs remind fans of the Goldfinger of the mid-90s. Sadly, however, the album goes down from there. The worst song, in my opinion, is also the longest song on the album. H Jobs for Jesus is a 4.5-minute song that frankly shouldn't even be a B-side, let alone make the cut for the album. In my opinion, the song is trying too hard to show how spiritually independent the band can be. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for reviews, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full, which is average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Hell or Destiny by Goldfinger a 5. Being a fan of the band starting when I was in high school in the mid-90s, this album is a disappointment. Hopefully the band is still able to continue to put on a great live show. Think my review is off the mark, or want to give me a heads up on an album that I should review, please send me an email at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Up next is a song from Hello Destiny. This is Goldfinger with One More Time.
Every day is just the same, there's nothing inside. I've been watching as the people run and they hide. I don't want to be right on time. Can't act like I'm due.
Your life was built by your own hands. You never get the maze of your mess. medicated haze. Well, the operator is gone. You got a gift for your disease growing in your backyard. Whoa, you got the answers that you need right up in your backyard. You don't wanna go on through all your contemplation. You haven't found a way. You want salvation, the start of a new day. Throw your feet up in as you walk alone, and you just wanna go home. You got a gift for your disease growing in your backyard. Whoa, you got the answers that you need right up in your backyard. Whoa, you got a gift for your disease growing in your backyard. Get down. Remember, there's still hope that can be found. Hold on to the dream that once was so clear. Let go of your fear. Realize there's one thing you can't give up. The penalty rules where your mind gets so. Unlock the doors and let your soul back in. And wake up, wake up, wake up. Give for your disease growing in your backyard. Whoa, you got the answers that you need right up in your backyard. Whoa, you got the cure, 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 got the cure. So wake up, wake up, wake up.
Deeper in death. To you. wish you well and all the rest. Left behind one thing I made. When I die, wanna parade. Another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, I'll be coming around. Maybe I will see some of you then, before I head on out of town. Another 2 weeks, I'll be coming around. Think I'll try this New Year's Eve to start over. Another 2 weeks, I'll be coming around. Some of you then, before I head all out of town. Another 2 weeks, I'll be coming around. I think I'll try this New Year's Eve to start over. Start over. Start over.
Back here at Rocket Fuel. That was Junior Juggernaut with Another 2 Weeks from their Ghost Poison album. Before that were the ska favorites, the Mad Caddies, from their 2000 release Keep It Going, which in my opinion is the best album from the band to date. That was Backyard. Going back to Junior Juggernaut, I had the chance to speak with singer and driving force of the band, Mike Williamson, to talk about the band, their new release Ghost Poison, and what it was like to be an independent band from Los Angeles. Here it is. Well, I'm here with Mike Williamson from the great band Junior Juggernaut. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks. Well, let's start at the very beginning here. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Austin, Texas, born and raised. Spent the first 22 years of my life there.
Okay, and growing up in Austin there, what type of music was on in the radio in your house?
On the radio, as in...
Like, what did your parents listen to? Yeah, like, what did your parents listen to, and then what did you listen to as a kid?
Well, my parents are not the biggest music fans. They listen to stuff like Celine Dion and, you know, things like that.
Wow.
Really sort of adult, you know, stuffy contemporary stuff. So I certainly gained no knowledge whatsoever from them. And stuff I listened to when I was a kid, to be perfectly honest, the first when I was first getting into music, you know, when you're 8 years old or something, all I bought was movie soundtracks.
Oh, really?
It was because it was purely economical.
Right.
And I'm talking, like, not usually score, but the pop soundtracks, because I looked at it and I saw that I could get, like, 10 bands for the
right.
price of one.
Right.
That's really where all of my youth was... What I was listening to in my youth was, like, soundtracks to, like, the movie Teachers and Karate Kid and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know. That's neither here nor there, I guess.
Right. No, understand that. Now, what do your parents think about you being a musician now? They're not real big music fans, but what do they think about your music?
Well, they're really supportive. They're not big music fans, but they're big supporters of the arts. You know, they, like, go to the opera and things like that. So, they see it as art and... They support any sort of creative outlet like that, so they're definitely supportive. They forward the emails to all my aunts and uncles about what I'm doing.
That's great. That's cool. That's very cool. Now, your band, Junior Juggernaut, the music has a lot of different elements in it, from rock to country, some blues in there. Even, you know, you guys like to jam from time to time. Was
yeah.
that a specific goal that you had with the band, or was that something that just kind of came naturally as you started the writing process?
It's just natural, honestly. I mean, I listen to a lot of music, and that's just sort of where my brain goes. You know, I grew up mostly listening to rock music, and, you know, in Austin, when you're a teenager, I mean, it's traditional to sort of rebel against what is the norm. And in Austin, country music and blues music was the norm, and so I, you know, as any healthy teenager, would do rebelled against it, and I only listened to, you know, punk rock and stuff like that, and you know, alternative rock.
Right.
And it wasn't really until I moved away from Austin that I found the mental breathing room to say, well, maybe I should listen to all this stuff. And,
right.
And then I really got into it. And I mean, I you know, my record collection is, you know, it's vast, and it's, there's a lot of different stuff going on in it, and that's, I like any kind of music that's honest, and I find that a lot in blues and country music. And, you know, of course, when we say country music, we don't talk about modern Nashville or anything like that. But
right.
I like a lot of the Texas Outlaw guys, and a lot of the more modern Texas Outlaws, like James McMurtry and Ray Wiley Hubbard and stuff like that. A lot of truth, and so yeah, I listen to, you know, my turntable will go from, you know, the Melvins, and then I'll put on Sir Douglas Quintet after that, and then I'll put on, you know, Mississippi Fred McDowell after that. So it's just sort of how my brain works, and I like all that kind of music, and that's, it just kind of comes out of my fingers when I pick up a guitar, that sort of synthesis of all that stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome, because it definitely does come out with your music, again, like you said, from the punk rock background and some of that Texas Outlaw stuff. Junior Juggernaut really kind of sounds like all of those bands kind of, you know, compressed into one and then put through the speakers. So I definitely understand that. The whole genre of alt country, so to speak, has kind of been becoming more and more popular these days. Do you think that comes from music fans being tired of what's coming out currently in the mainstream rock scene?
Well, I know that's what I liked about it. I mean, it just comes back to honesty, and I just found a lot more honesty in what was being played and what was being said in that sort of music. Because, all, you know, when you talk about alt country, so often it's rock and roll guys. You know,
right.
You know, it's, you talk about Sunvolt, you know, Uncle Tupelo's records really rocked, and you know, Jay Farrar, you know, the cover songs that they do, I mean, they'll do you know, Stooges and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's just, I think that it is sort of a reaction to get more pure and more back to basics with your rock. And, you know, when we talk about alt country now, it's really sort of what rock music was in the late 60s. I mean, you talk about rock music in the 60s, you think about the Byrds and you know, Buffalo Springfield and things like this. If those bands were out now, you'd call them alt country.
Right.
But back then, they were just rock bands. And I think it's because they were coming from a place of more pure, you know, purely derived inspiration from traditional American music. And now rock has got so far from that sort of purity that you almost can't label that kind of music rock anymore, because what kids think of as rock now is so streamlined and commercialized that to have any sort of purity in the music, it all somehow
right.
It rings false to a kid's ears. You know,
right.
They think it's old sounding and country sounding, when really, to me, it's just rock. Like, I don't think of Junior Juggernaut as an alt country band. We're just a rock band that happens to listen to music that's you know, pre 2001.
Right. No. Right. Now, do you see the music scene kind of turning back to the things that are more pure and more truthful? I mean, do you think that the audiences are going to start craving that truth? Do you think it's going to kind of take a turn back towards that?
I don't know. I mean, I would hope so, but I don't particularly see that right now, and I haven't seen that for a long time,
right.
To be honest. I mean, it's been a really long time for me as a music listener where there was bands on the radio that I could fully support. I mean, there's a couple on there now, but it hasn't been that way for me since the 90s, you know, alt-rock boom, when a lot of bands who were toiling in the underground all of a sudden got thrown on the radio, and you could hear, you know, the honesty in that. But I don't know. I mean, you would hope that kids would see through some of the things that are presented to them, but I know they don't seem to. They
right.
don't seem to see the impurity in what they're downloading or whatever. So,
right.
I mean, everything is cyclical, of course. I don't want to be too cynical, but I don't see it happening this year or next.
No,
know?
Yeah,
sure.
No. Understand that. Now, you're in L.A., which, of course, is essentially the entertainment capital of the world. You've got celebrities running around all over the place there, and a lot of musicians and actors and such. Do you think that that environment helps the local music scene there, or does it hurt it?
It hurts it.
Yeah.
Playing in L.A. Is a soul-sucking experience.
Oh, wow.
The city is so vast, and it's so cluttered, and it's so busy that it is such a hassle. It's really exhausting to try and have any sort of scene whatsoever, because there is, like what you're talking, when you talk about LA, you do think about entertainment. And
right.
To me, music isn't entertainment. I mean, it's entertaining, but it's not like, when I think, you know, when someone says entertainment, I usually think of formula, you know,
right.
And that kind of mentality, there's millions of bands in LA that think of themselves as entertainment, and that sort of falseness doesn't really breed any sort of sense of community among people, because you can't relate to it.
Right.
It's maybe something you do just for the hell of it, like, hey, we'll go see this goofy band, you know, they're funny, the singer's hot, you know?
Right.
But that doesn't form any sense of community among music lovers, and there is so much more of that here than anything else, and like I said, the city's just big.
Right.
And it's really difficult to get around and go to a show and pay to park, and, I mean, to go to a show in L.A., you literally have to budget 45 minutes on the freeway, and then looking for parking, and paying for parking, and then you know, paying the cover charge, and then paying $8 for a beer, and that does not breed any sense of love of music. I mean, there's a couple little things that go on here and there where someone's tried to create a scene, but that is absolutely the minority of the music experience in LA.
Right. Now, you've put together, you know, as I've said before, this great, you know, rock sounding album, again, obviously talking about the struggles of trying to play in L.A. Have you guys ever thought about, you know, putting a tour together to promote the record and take you guys out on the road?
Yeah, we're definitely, I mean, that's in the works. We're, you know, all three of us have jobs, not
right.
Like, you know, I mean, we kind of are career-oriented guys, and so it's a little difficult for us to all take, a month off, but we're booking a West Coast tour right now, and
great.
And we want to take it on the road. We want to sell some records for Virgil, and we're, you know, we do one-offs. You know, we went to South by Southwest with Virgil, and we're going to go play his show in Denver this September for
okay.
Suburban Home, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's an anniversary show or whatever. And but yeah, we definitely want to tour the record, but we're also not going to be, you know, these guys that are on the road 300 days a year. It's just not financially, we can't
right.
do that, because we have commitments at home.
Right,
like
no.
That.
Understand that. Now, how did you guys hook up with Virgil and Suburban Home Records?
We recorded most of Ghost Poison as I guess you'd call it a demo. We played a lot with Jeff Caudill. And he was talking with Virgil about doing a record, and he mentioned to Virgil, you should check out Junior Juggernaut, I think you'd like him. And around the same time, Wall, my drummer, who also knows Virgil but had never mentioned Junior Juggernaut to him, because Wall's kind of, he's professional like that, you know.
Right.
Because he's a music journalist, he doesn't want to, you know, mix and match, you know.
Right.
But he, nevertheless, he decided, well, I'll send Virgil our demo just for fun. And so right when Jeff Caudill was talking to him, you should check out Junior Juggernaut, a Junior Juggernaut CD showed up in the mail, and he said, oh, this is Wall's band, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
And we, in fact, share a bass player with Jeff Caudill, so it all kind of clicked like that, and then he found out, you know, I'm friends with John and Drag the River, and we play with them a lot, and we play with Two Cow, and we play with Armchair Martian, you know. And so it just seemed like, you know, the Suburban Home kind of feels like a family affair.
Yeah.
And it seemed like we kind of fit into the family. You know, we had been existing with all these bands on his label already, unbeknownst to him, and I think it felt right to him. And he liked the record a lot. You know, that's I think that's number one.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah, we could have played with these bands all we wanted, but if we were terrible, I don't think he would have put out a record.
Right, right. Now, you guys produced this album yourselves, right, Ghost Poison?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that working in the studio? Was that your first time doing that kind of thing?
No, I mean, we've been in the studio. We put out, well, actually, not with the guys that are in the band now, but I put out an EP before, a June Juggernaut EP that we self-released. And it's great. I mean, we get out of L.A. There's this place called Lo-Fi Studios about an hour east of here. And the girl that runs the place is the engineer. And it's a really kind of laid-back vibe. And we know what we want, and I know what I want from the songs, and we just go in and basically play the thing live.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of that record is, you know, 75% of what you hear on that record is live. The basic tracks, we just lay them down, and then we'll overdub vocals and some extra guitar goodies. But that's just sort of it. You know, the ethos of the band anyway is just to keep it simple. You know, producing a Junior Juggernaut record just means, you know, not mucking it up.
Right, right.
Sort of translating what we do
right
to tape.
Yeah,
we do it to tape, by the way.
Right.
I don't even like someone thinking about Pro Tools when it comes to Junior Juggernaut, because that could lead to all kinds of funny business.
Yeah.
Like to put it down on tape and get it out.
But exactly, and that comes right back to the honesty that you were talking about, not only in the lyrics and the vocals, but in the musicianship as well. So, I mean, I think it all kind of, that's kind of the common theme with Junior Juggernaut as I see it.
Yeah, great. Glad you realized it.
Nice.
Glad it comes through.
One of my favorite songs on the record, Ghost Poison, is Breathing Grieving. If you don't mind me asking, what is that song about?
That song is about taking things for granted. It's about, you know, when you have a wife at home like I do that you love very much, and then you can take that for granted, and then it's the idea of what if she was gone one day? You
right.
know, what if she, you know, I have had a lot of death in my life, and, you know, sometimes it crosses my mind what happens if my wife dies, and it's just the regrets of things you would have, you know, not taken advantage of while somebody you love is around.
Right.
That's basically what it's about.
Understand, and being a happily married man myself, I think that I can understand that emotion a lot. I understand that a lot. Well, Mike, I just have one last question. Do you have any other final thoughts or words of wisdom for anybody?
Well, I'm not the kind of guy that can offer wisdom to anyone. I don't know that I'm wise myself. Thank you for listening, and, you know, thanks. I'm glad people seem to be digging the record, and support Suburban Home Records. That's my final statement. Is buy Virgil's records. I really don't want him to lose money on Junior Juggernaut. That's my one wish with this record. Anything above all else, if someone spends money on me, I don't want them to lose money on me. So I just hope people buy the record for Virgil.
Well, that is well said. Well, Mike Williamson from Junior Juggernaut, thank you so much. Folks out there listening, go out and buy Ghost Poison today. You can find it on Suburban Home Records website, or check out the Junior Juggernaut MySpace page. Mike, thanks again for all of your help.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much.
Be sure to check out Junior Juggernaut's debut album, Ghost Poison, which is available now on Suburban Home Records. Here's the song we just talked about. This is Breathing Grieving.
I will be breathing. Will be breathing on my own till I find you're not home. And I'll be grieving. Will be grieving all alone. The sun is setting over the fence. Gotta chase it down or I lose my chance. No matter how hard I run, or I will follow. There's a sun back behind me at home, and I forgot if I leave it alone. Day will turn tonight and I'll be all alone. I will be breathing. Will be breathing out my own till I find you're not home. And I'll be grieving.
is the saddest thing. All that's left is a wedding ring. A diamond needs the sun so it can sparkle. Well, I am done, I am headed home. I regret the time I've been gone. Chasing too many suns can leave you darker.
Back at Rocket Fuel, that was the amazing and legendary alternative band Sugar from their 1992 debut album Copper Blue, that was If I Can't Change Your Mind. Up next is our last song for the week, and it comes from the Greensboro, North Carolina power pop band Farewell. From their Isn't This Supposed to Be Fun album, this is First One on the Blog.
Well, your cover has been blown. Gonna teach you that you reap what you sow. It will take you for everything you own. While your girlfriend's slipping in through the back door. If you mess with me, then you will have to enter to my friend. Just a warning for the masses. Not better to comprehend. Fight for what you believe in. Stand your ground and stay proud. Shout at the top of your lungs now. Or raise your voices up.
That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Be sure to check out next week's show, where I interview Thad from the ska band Westbound Train and review the new album from Falling from the Sky. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. If you want to request a song, give me a suggestion, or just say hi, send me an email at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.